Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. I'm excited to be sitting down with Heather Fazio, who is the executive director at the Texas Cannabis Policy Center, thinking deeply about the marketplace that's coming to Texas that some would argue has been in Texas in the shadows. But we're really talking about marijuana policy as it's coming to Texas. So, Heather, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Definitely a hot topic throughout the state of Texas, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss it and our upcoming policy conference.
So your conference is right around the corner. We're going to be releasing this right in advance of that conference, but I was surprised to see it is a big conversation in Austin, and it's 3 days of conversations, policy, and I imagine education around a topic that isn't always a comfortable one to talk about.
Well, you know, opinions have evolved over the years when it comes to cannabis policy, with the vast majority of Texans agreeing that we shouldn't be going with the prohibition approach. Instead, we should be thinking about thoughtful regulation. And that was the debate all last year in Austin, with a big campaign to roll back the hemp industry and change the laws. Thankfully, though, lawmakers were very thoughtful in their consideration, and Governor Abbott vetoed a bill that would have prohibited hemp products in the state, moving forward instead with thoughtful regulation and meaningful enforcement of those rules.
Well, it's popped up even in my little hometown. I saw the CBD dispensary, vape stores, whatever that category is, I saw four of them in a month come out of nowhere. Yeah. So there's a marketplace for it. Consumers are looking for it. But if I think about what they're selling in there, I worry about the products and what's legal, what's illegal, what's helpful, what's hurtful. I don't know how to distinguish those.
Yeah. Well, let's take a big picture look at Texas and cannabis. So when I talk about cannabis, we're talking about hemp and marijuana. Cannabis is the scientific name for the plant. It's a kind of an umbrella term. And then legally, you have distinct differences between marijuana, which has more than 0.3% Delta-9 THC, and hemp products that have below 0.3% Delta-9 THC. So in 2015, our state legalized medical cannabis through our compassionate use program, making these products available for a limited number of patients, with the program expanding in multiple sessions since then. That was the first time that cannabis became legal to sell, purchase, and consume in the state. Since then, in 2019, Texas, following suit from the federal government, legalized hemp products. And that's what we've seen really become so pervasive across the state of Texas. The shops that you're talking about are likely selling legal hemp products, and it has grown to the tune of a multi-billion dollar industry. Texans are enjoying the fact that these products are safe and that they're legal. And we do have work to do on building out more robust regulatory infrastructure. And most importantly, though, is the enforcement of those rules. Since 2019, the Department of State Health Services has been tasked with the regulation and enforcement, but we haven't seen very many inspections, random sampling of products. There have been no age restrictions in place, for example. These are the kinds of things that should have been set up originally. And finally, we're seeing, thanks to the governor's decisive action with his executive order, we're seeing those rules finally being established and rolled out, TABC being brought into the fold for enforcement, and us having a marketplace that's much better regulated.
It sounds like a safer marketplace, ultimately. And how do we look at other states that have gone through this conversation already? In my mind, I think Colorado, but I think Oklahoma is another good example where they've really spent time developing this industry. And are they further along, or is that a place where we can learn some policy lessons?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an excellent question. And Colorado legalized marijuana across the board in 2012 and have the longest standing legal marketplace other than California that legalized medical cannabis in 1996. Now, there are lessons to be learned from these states because it wasn't all rainbows and sunshine. They didn't get it all right away. And we're going to be learning from other states at this policy conference, bringing in a member of the Marijuana and Enforcement Division within the Colorado Department of Revenue. That's their regulatory body. We want to make sure that we're learning from them, avoiding the pitfalls, and adopting some of the best practices that help us to do the best we can in Texas. You mentioned Oklahoma, and while they haven't fully legalized for adult use, they do have a robust medical cannabis program. And they went hard and fast right out of the gate because of a mandate from the voters due to a ballot initiative. And so their program grew very quickly, very fast, and guaranteed there are some lessons learned that we could adopt from Oklahoma as well. Our program seems to have been established very well. It's been a slow process getting patients better access to the medicine, including more qualifying conditions, allowing more products to be sold. But as long as it did take, this last year, Texas became the 40th state to be officially considered a medical cannabis state. And we're proud of the work that's been done over the years and the marketplace that's been established for those patients who have a doctor's prescription or recommendation to use the products.
Now, you have a conference that's happening. Who comes to a conference like this? Who would you see walking the hallways?
We've hosted the Texas Cannabis Policy Conference since 2018, and we've seen a lot of changes since then. That is for sure on cannabis policy. And our goal is to create a space where stakeholders can come together to have the meaningful conversations that are going to set us up for success during the next legislative session. We'll be talking about how to leverage the election cycle to ensure that candidates understand the issue, they know that it's a priority for their voters, and that they're prepared when lawmakers convene in January. And so at this conference, we primarily expect to see a lot of business owners. A lot of the folks that are purchasing tickets are people that are living in this state of uncertainty. When it comes to federal policy, we recently saw a huge change at the federal level that would essentially wipe out most of the hemp industry on the consumable side. There's a delay in the implementation of that law, giving advocates and businesses, stakeholders, a chance to roll that back, calling for regulation rather than elimination. We'll be talking about that at the conference and bringing those stakeholders together. So not only businesses, but we also have advocates, policy experts, attorneys, lobbyists, and we're going to be welcoming some regulators to join us to have this conversation about how we can do better. We know there are shortcomings in the industry. There are opportunities for better accountability to ensure public health and safety. I mean, even those of us that support a legal marketplace have concerns about how we're going to implement the rules fairly and to ensure consumer protection and to make sure that businesses are held accountable with things like recall standards and consumer complaint reporting. These things are critical for that transparency and accountability.
And it really does bring it out of the shadows in a taboo conversation in some area to having a clear-eyed conversation around how do we do this appropriately, safely, and as a benefit from a sales tax standpoint to the broader community.
Most certainly. And we want to make sure that we're addressing the reasonable concerns that people have with public health and safety and address those issues. Cannabis isn't for everyone. And we want to make sure that consumers are educated and that they have all the information to choose whether or not hemp products are right for them, to know what they're looking for when they're going into a shop, and to make sure that these shop owners, who are small mom and pop places most of the time, they have the tools necessary to establish standard operating procedures, best practices. How do you educate consumers at the point of sale so that they can make responsible decisions? Things like not mixing cannabis and alcohol should be one of the things that people are being instructed to avoid. Making sure that if you have a history, a predisposition of mental health issues, you should be working with a doctor rather than consuming it over the counter. These are the types of things that we're going to be discussing because we take these things seriously. We know that prohibition and sending consumers to the illicit market is certainly not going to solve those problems. We can only do it through educating consumers and enforcing proper regulations.
And finally, where can people find more information about your cause and the work that you're doing?
Our website is texascannabisconference.org, and you can find more information about who will be speaking. This is a sold-out in-person event being hosted at UT Austin's Thompson Conference Center, but we have a live stream option, so you can register now for the live stream, and you'll get early access to the sessions that are being recorded but not live streamed at the time. So folks can visit Texas Cannabis Conference to learn more about the work that we do, the speakers who will be presenting at the conference this weekend, and how to sign up for the live stream.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for the work that you're doing. It is putting clarity in the state, whether you're on this side or that side of the aisle or the topic. Clarity is important, and the work that you're doing really does help us get there. So Heather Fazio, thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us at the Building Texas Show. We're excited to share stories from across the state covering the future of work and what Texas is going to look like over the next 50 years. Please like and subscribe on YouTube.